tuned in to Naturopathic Earth Radio with certified health consultant and former obese child, A. Gregory Luna, where you get the latest on clean living, natural remedies, effective weight loss tips, and sound naturopathic principles from experts and biohackers from around the world and Gregory himself. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of the shackles of Big Food and start your journey now to a long, vibrant, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathic Earth.
Hello, everyone. This is A. Gregory Luna. Welcome back to another episode of Naturopathic Earth Radio and
Naturopathic Essentials.
Yes, that's Kate McCaw. She's returned for a Q&A. We have a lot to talk about before we go to the four or five questions we're going to address that listeners have sent us. First of all, Kate was gone for about a month or so. Kate, you want to tell us where you're at?
I went to visit family.
Yeah, over in the Mountain West.
That's right.
Yeah, that's hot.
Yes, is it hot? But it's not humid heat. It was actually quite nice. We've spent time at the swimming pool and the sun getting a lot of vitamin D, and it was 100 degrees, and it was really comfortable, actually.
For those of you who don't live in Texas or never been down here, where San Antonio is about 150 miles from the coast, but it gets decent humidity. I grew up in Houston, as you guys know, and it is as humid as a jungle over there. So normally here we get highs in the upper 90s and a decent humidity, but Utah, I'm assuming it's kind of like Phoenix and that area where it just gets hot, but it's not too bad. And
the dry heat.
And the evenings are pretty nice too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the mornings are beautiful. I walked down the street to the park. I walked my kids to the park and it was so beautiful in the morning. So
didn't you tell me that you went to northern Utah and there was snow in the mountains?
Yeah.
That's incredible. In June.
In June.
All right. Well, Kate has an announcement about her new podcast. You want to talk about Naturopathic Essentials?
A little bit, yeah. So I'm starting out Naturopathic Essentials with a list of oils. What was that beep? Did you hear that beep?
It's in your mind. Schizophrenic.
Okay, sorry. Maybe we can edit that part out.
She wants to kill you.
No.
He's looking at you. That's how schizophrenics, they always hear voices and see things.
Red Rum. What was that movie? Name that movie. Red
The Shining. Rum. Even though I've never seen it.
It's so creepy.
I remember the Simpsons version of the Shining, but I've actually never seen the Stephen King classic. I haven't seen a lot of classics from the 70s.
I don't know what we were talking about.
Even though I'm infinitely older than you, I don't remember.
You are old. Yeah.
We were talking about your new podcast.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So yes, Naturopathic Essentials. The first couple episodes are going to be... So Naturopathic Essentials is the first episodes are just going to be basically going through the most important oils to have. And then hopefully we'll go into some herbs and then we'll see how it goes from there.
Maybe you'll interview some people. Some
herbalists, sure.
And aromatherapists. Mm-hmm. So guys, what we did is we're going to put Naturopathic Essentials on Kate's own separate feed on iTunes. So if you listen to us on SoundCloud or at the website, which is naturopathicearth.com, you'll be able to listen to it there. But if you're listening on iTunes, we've taken it off the MP Radio, the MPE Radio feed, and she has her own feed. So you're going to need to search for Naturopathic Essentials. There you'll see a picture of Kate, and that's where you'll see the feed of all her pods on essential oils and herbs. And from what I understand, she'll probably do about 20 on oils and then 20 on herbs, right?
Yeah, maybe 25 and 15.
And then anytime we do Q&As together, we'll put the Q&As both on the MP Radio feed and on the Naturopathic Essentials feed since we're both on that. So we would appreciate it if you posted reviews on her podcast because at the beginning, you need some reviews to show up and it'd be great if you could go there.
Yeah, I would love it.
Anything else you want to talk about where we can be found? What are your social media names and stuff?
Because I always mention one. Really fast. Should we do that at the end?
We'll do it at the end. Okay. What do you want to bring?
A drawing is coming up for an essential oil blend.
Yes. So on Friday on Kate's episode of Naturopathic Essentials, she'll announce the winner of the new essential oil blend. Rebecca won the first one.
Woohoo, Rebecca.
Yeah. So she'll be getting that. And so listen on Friday for Naturopathic Essentials.
Yes, that's right. Where we will be announcing the winner.
Yes, and then we'll also put on Instagram at naturopathic_earth. Yes. Okay. So we're going to deal with four or five questions. I just kind of went through the probably the best ones to ask. And we're going to start with the ones that are directed toward Kate. So Kate, this is from Kendra. She's asking, Kate, you had mentioned in previous podcasts that you just had a baby not that long ago. And she wants to know if you did any form of intermittent fasting during your pregnancy or since the birth.
Okay. Okay. Well, currently I am, my full-time job is a teacher. So that just will play into this. So during my pregnancy, especially during the first trimester, for those of you that have been pregnant, you kind of have to keep snacks handy all the time. Otherwise you're going to be in the bathroom over the toilet. At least I am. Anyway.
Praying to the porcelain praying God?
Yes. Huh. Yeah. So, not during anything during the first trimester. The second and third trimesters, I listened to my body. And there were days that I did fast until lunchtime, 12:30, you know, 1 o'clock. But I listened to my body. I made sure that when I did fast, I had to get all of the calories that I, you know, would otherwise have to get if I wasn't.
Because fasting is not a diet, it's a lifestyle. So the expectation is you still get the same amount of calories in your eating window than you would otherwise. I'd mentioned that in the MPE podcast, the two podcasts on fasting. So it's good. You got all your calories because you were carrying a child.
Exactly. And the most important thing to remember is to keep hydrated should you choose to do this. And also, we're not doctors, neither of us. So just as a little disclaimer there, this is my personal experience with it. And I mentioned I was a teacher because sometimes I was hungry, just too busy to eat, or I wasn't hungry and didn't eat till lunchtime. So I kind of listened to my body during the pregnancy. As far as after the birth,
How old is the baby? How far?
She's 3 months old.
Okay, so since the birth?
Yeah, since the birth. I had done research prior to giving birth to her, and decided that I was going to try intermittent fasting. Mm-hmm. So what I did was I just kind of built up the stamina. So, you know, I'd started out maybe fasting until 10 a.m. and then, you know, stop eating, I don't even know, after dinner, 7, 8 o'clock. So that's how I did it. But now I'm fasting at 3 months old. I'm fasting until 1 or 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, depending on the day. But I do sometimes have, like, you know, some things in the morning if I'm feeling hungry.
So you're just kind of playing it by ear.
Yeah, but for the most part, I almost always fast till at least noon, except for when I was on vacation. If my family's listening to this, they know I did not fast. I started out good, but didn't finish.
Now, you had fasted in the past, but this is the first time that you've actually kind of engaged in true intermittent fasting. Do you feel like your performance or cognition's improved, or is it the same? What about your hunger pangs? What about your yoga and all that?
Yeah. So my hunger pangs are few, if at all. When I do get them, oftentimes I'm thirsty. I found that I'm just thirsty. So I drink a big glass of water and it completely relieves that. So, but my cognition has been sharper. My yoga practice has been more beneficial, I feel like, as long as I'm staying hydrated. Because I think, you know, like a lot of that milk supply is water. But my milk has also been great. That was my biggest fear. If I was going to intermittently fast, if I would lose any milk, but I haven't.
Your milk production's good.
That's right.
Yes. Very good. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Great.
So Kendra, I hope that helps you out. Listen to your body, stay hydrated, and we're not doctors.
Yes. We only play one on TV. So I think lots of times if you read on IFing, they'll talk about how pregnant women should not be fasting. And I think, as I mentioned in the fasting podcast, if you haven't listened to it, definitely listen to it. It's a two-parter. That's more of a concern that doctors have, or people who just are ignorant about fasting. They believe that the woman is getting less calories, because typically when you do fast, you just naturally are going to be ingesting less calories unless you make an effort to increase the calories you eat during your window. And I think that's why they're more concerned about fasting, is that the woman is essentially dieting. And we don't definitely endorse dieting. We really don't enforce dieting at all, the whole concept of dieting per se. But when you're pregnant, I think the average healthy weight gain is 20 to 30 pounds. Mm-hmm. You want to stay in that window. Now, most of you probably know people who've gained less. And it's certainly, you guys know people who've gained more.
Well, And I will say that if you start out at a lower weight, you're probably going to gain more during your pregnancy. And really? Also vice versa. If you start out overweight, borderline obese, you're going to gain or could gain less. Hmm. So they also do say that. Hmm.
Yeah. So if you are pregnant and you want to fast, by all means do it. Just make sure that you maintain your amount of calories or maybe even a little more when you're pregnant during your eating window. Because again, fasting is not a type of dieting, and you see some people with like eating disorders gravitating toward fasting because it is a form of
controlled eating disorder.
Controlled eating mm-hmm. disorder, yeah, because they're not eating. So it's almost like an anorexia, and then it turns into a binge fest during the eating window. So just make sure that you know what you're doing with fasting. And of course, it's not like you're signing a contract with AT&T or some cell phone contract that you're beholden to for years. You can always just stop fasting and the next day resume to normal eating. I just find that I work and function better when I'm fasting, and I've been fasting now 3 years. So we'll see. Kate maybe can give updates on her fasting experience as the year progresses.
Yeah, I have felt like I've rebounded faster. I will say that.
You mean your body?
Yes. Hmm. Like I mean, I'm not back, you know, full on what I was pre-pregnancy, but I have rebounded very quickly as opposed to my previous pregnancies when I didn't fast at all.
And you think that has to do with the fasting? Or you,
how
much
I don't
do,
know.
Do you know how much weight you gained during this pregnancy?
I would say probably gained about 25 pounds. Yeah. 20 to 25.
The average that you gained with the other ones?
I probably gained a little bit more in the other pregnancies, but I'm talking more after the pregnancies. I didn't fast at all after. Mm. But I nursed with all of them and I'm seeing better results after. Mm. And honestly, my milk, I feel like is better. I don't know why, but maybe because I'm eating a lot of high fat food. So
you're going a little keto.
That's right.
Or at least low carb, because I know you're not sick of less than 50 grams of carb a day. That's really hard for any of you to do real keto and you're checking your urine. Going under 50 grams is tough. I'm definitely not keto.
I mean, I
embrace keto. I think it's great. I've mentioned that's a great way to lose weight if you need to lose weight. I think I mentioned that in the last Q&A, which was, I think, NPE number 11, and we're on 30. That's one of the great ways to lose weight. But I'm not going to endorse, and I think Kate's mentioned this in the past too. We do not eat paleo.
No.
We do not eat clean all the time. But we think it's our, like, kind of, I wouldn't say our onus or our mandate. It's not like white man's burden in colonial times, but we just feel like, you know, we know about the toxins in our food and air. And it's just, we want to bring it to your attention. If any of you have been reading the articles on the website recently, I've been talking about the class 1, class 2 carcinogens, and we've been talking about fluoride in the water. And just a lot of people don't know about these things. And so we just want to bring it to your attention. We are not by any means, sanctimonious and be like, oh, we're paleo. We've been paleo 10 years. We haven't touched bread. Oh, bread's for the masses. No, I had bread yesterday. Yeah.
Not today.
I had a hamburger. Yeah. Yeah. It was good meat. It was good meat. That wasn't like dirty fast food Stop. Meat, which is like 80% yeah, not good, meat. Right? It's like real. It was good meat.
Yeah. Yeah. On the barbecue.
All right. So we're going to go to the next question. This is from Lisa. She wants to know about probiotic pills. Probiotic pills. She says she's interested in increasing her probiotic intake. And she wants to know what's my opinion on the pills and what kind of criteria, if any, should she apply when looking at probiotic pills. I would recommend all of you to go back to NP Radio number 2, which I think is on probiotics. I do mention pills there a little. All I'll say in this is the main criteria is definitely get the ones that are refrigerated because the little buggers preserve better when they're cold. That's why kombucha, you should always leave kombucha as cold as you can. And of course, all the Greek yogurt and all that. But ideally, you want the probiotic pills to be cold. And what the main criteria is, and this is tricky because it's a lot of food products are like this, not just cereals and chips, but kombucha and Greek yogurt, all these things. But there's so many different types, right? You've seen probiotic pills, right, Kate, over in the aisles? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they have ones for men, one for women, one for children, one for geriatrics. They have so many different brands. What I always say is this. You want a varied strain and you want a high number of CFUs. So you want as many CFUs per pill. Now, one of the things they do to deceive you is like when you're looking at the pill, they might say, oh, it's got 5 5 billion CFU. Now, if you look at the back, though, you have to look at the serving size, and the serving size is going to be 2 pills. So just take that into consideration. Also, they'll mention there's always like a little cross next to the CFU amount, and that's at the time of packaging. Lots of times you'll lose that because many times these pills are not refrigerated from processing to being sold, and so you're going to lose a lot of that potency. So, of course, you want a higher number, but the more important thing is the varied strains. Some people take Acidophilus pills, which Acidophilus is a probiotic bacteria. It's one of the more common ones. But that's just one strain. So when you're looking at Greek yogurts, and I've mentioned this in the Greek yogurt review, but any probiotic foods, you want to look at the back and see how many different bugs are there, bugs and fungus. You want to buy the pills that have the largest strains or largest variety of bacteria and fungus, you know, mold, yeast, all those critters. So that's what you're really looking for. You're going to have to spend a decent amount of money for decent probiotic pills. But the larger question is this. Do you need probiotic pills? Honestly, I don't think you do. I think the much cheaper way is just increase your prebiotic food, the foods that feed our beneficial bacteria naturally. I do have a podcast on that. But right off the top of my head, you know, green bananas, a lot of onions, a lot of resistant starch foods. If you like asparagus, you like asparagus, Kate?
I love asparagus.
Asparagus is good. Yeah. Artichokes.
Yeah. Especially with some homemade hollandaise.
Yeah, I
should put that on the website.
You should put that on the website.
It's mostly egg yolk.
There's also potato flour starch, green banana starch. Green bananas, of course, are the cheapest prebiotic food. Actually, the best way to eat it is go symbiotic, which is eating your prebiotic and probiotic foods at the same time. So a good example of that would be eating green bananas or unripened bananas with Greek yogurt. So the banana is prebiotic and you're eating it with the bacteria and the yogurt, which is probiotic. So that's what I would say is the main criteria. Look at the number of CFUs, buy it refrigerated, and look at the amount of different types of bacteria and fungus in the bottle. But you are probably looking at $15 to $30 a bottle. Also look at the serving size. But honestly, you really don't, I personally don't think that you need it. I've seen studies showing that it's largely a small effect, probiotic foods in general, because we have trillions of bacteria in the gut. And honestly, if you eat something that's got 20 million CFUs, it's really not going to affect it more. The bigger way to affect your probiotic health is to stop eating as many sugars and inflammatory foods that disrupt our microbiome. Uh-oh, Kate's phone! So inflammatory foods and just have a preponderance of probiotic bacteria. So eat just a lot of prebiotic foods. You can't go wrong with eating a lot of vegetables for your prebiotic foods. But that's probably the better way to improve your microbiome. All right. Question number three is from Ashley. Ashley wants to know, Kate, for your essential oils, what is the best essential oils for diarrhea?
Oh,
the runs.
Gross. Okay.
And I run so far. Couldn't get away. Go ahead.
That's a good one. Okay. Okay. So diarrhea. There are lots of kinds of diarrhea. I mean, there's viral, bacterial, diarrhea from stress, diarrhea from foodborne illnesses.
Yeah, I think I had some mayonnaise in a sample yesterday at the supermarket.
You had mayonnaise?
But Mark Sisson endorses this one. It's made from avocado oil. No, actually it's not. No, I like mayonnaise with French fries. That's pretty much all I eat mayonnaise with. Hmm. You like that too with ketchup. Ketchup.
It's called fry sauce where I'm from.
Right.
And it's ketchup, mayonnaise, and then a little bit of relish.
Oh, actually that sounds
good. Know the recipe because I made it when I worked at the little Dairy Queen where I lived.
Really? Did you get free blizzards?
It wasn't really technically Dairy Queen like brand name.
How big was the town you grew up in?
The town I grew up in or the town that I worked at that restaurant in? Because they're two different things.
Okay, well, I don't either.
Small. Okay, small.
Small. Okay, so you worked at like a Dairy Queen place. Okay, so.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, back to
diarrhea,
it.
Diarrhea. Yeah, diarrhea.
Diarrhea. Bacterial, let's talk about bacterial viral first. Yeah. So the best oils to use for that would be thyme, tea tree, lavender, lemon, or eucalyptus. And the way you would apply that is directly to your abdomen and just put it in a carrier oil. So
what's a carrier oil? I've heard that phrase before. I don't know exactly what it means.
Right. A carrier oil allows you to dilute the essential oil, which is the really powerful 100% essence from the plant. And you can dilute it in a carrier oil, which is more mild.
So do you need to dilute it? For example, like with lavender, I use lavender for insomnia. I've mentioned that in the podcast. I can put that on the skin or inhale it. I don't need any type of buffer, but lavender, there's certain oils you need.
I mean, every aromatherapist has different rules, but I think lavender is one I think we can all say is fine to apply neat. And that's just like the code word for apply directly to the skin without a carrier oil.
But so most of these other ones you need like coconut oil.
I would, especially if there's sensitive skin involved for the elderly or young children. Okay. Dilution is very important. So, okay. And some carrier oils would be like sweet almond oil or avocado oil, or even coconut oil I use quite a bit. So, all right. So yeah, depending on the age of the person that has the illness, your dilution will change. So I can talk a little bit about that too, the dilution after I'm done with the oils for diarrhea. So if it's a food-related diarrhea, you could use peppermint, again, thyme, tea tree, chamomile, and then also eucalyptus would work for that. For nerve or stress-related diarrhea, you want to focus on the nerve, you know, the nervous tension that you're having, and use relaxing oils, which would be, again, peppermint and chamomile, but also geranium, lemon, and lavender mm-hmm. will help you with those things. So as far as the dilution, so after you decide which oil or oils you want to blend together to apply to your stomach, you have to dilute it, and you do that as follows. Sorry, I'm pulling up my notes. So depending, did she tell you who had the diarrhea? Or just
I think it was her child who was around one-ish.
Oh, her child. Okay. So for infants and babies, you want to use 0.5% dilution, which is kind of hard to measure. But basically for every teaspoon, a 1% dilution would be one drop. So for every teaspoon of oil, it's one drop, and that's for 1%. Obviously, 2% would be two drops, and so on.
So you then mix it. So you have like a teaspoon of coconut oil, you put one drop on top, and just swish it around with your hand.
Yeah, or you know, a stirring stick, or for like avocado oil or sweet almond oil, they're already liquid, and I put it in a roller ball type thing, and then roll it in my hands like back and forth, like I'm starting a fire.
Like Mr. Miyagi does to Daniel's knee at the end of Karate Kid.
Yes, exactly like that.
And they do that big clap sound.
Exactly like that.
And he comes back. And
exactly. That's exactly right.
Yeah. The original is much better, I think. The Will Smith version or the Jaden Smith version? Yeah. Horrible.
I just watched Karate Kid in the theaters. I brought my son.
I remember, well, that's great, because I remember when I was 10 when it came out, and I went to go see the movie Breakin', which was about breakdancing. Uh-huh. And at the theater, they had, we're going to show a special sneak preview of a movie called The Karate Kid. And so it was like a double feature, but you didn't have to pay for the second one. Uh-huh. And I remember watching Karate Kid, and I was just crying at the end.
Because
right?
It was so awesome.
Great. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You love Daniel. He's so great. Mr. Miyagi is so great.
Really powerful movie.
I like the Jaden Smith vehicle that Will Smith pressured to change his age and then move him to China.
All right.
Where, I'm not mistaken, it's Kung Fu. So should it be the Kung Fu Kid if it's in China?
I don't know. But regardless, it was a great movie. My son really enjoyed it. Yes. And for Christmas, he got karate, like some karate lessons. And he was psyched.
Did you teach him to wax on and wax off by washing all
the cars? I didn't teach him the karate lessons. I signed him up.
We should have gone to paint the fence.
Can you imagine?
Send a car.
Okay. Back to dilution rates of essential oil.
Yeah, so we're talking about one teaspoon, one drop, mix it in with your finger.
Right. Yeah. So depending on the age. So you want to do, like I said, 0.5% dilution rate for infants and babies. So like I said, if you mix with one teaspoon, one drop of oil, it's hard to get 0.5 drop of oil. So just take 0.5 of that. You know, use it.
Got it.
So, or double, I guess it would be teaspoons for one drop is how you do that 0.5% dilution. For the elderly or older children or sensitive skin, 1%. Daily skincare, 2% to 3%. And then more mild oils with short-term use, you can use 10 to 25% dilution rate, as long as you're not doing it every single day. So, so there's some information about that. But the most important thing to remember with diarrhea, especially in children, is dehydration. And you do not want to get dehydrated. We are not doctors, so if your child has any of the signs or symptoms of dehydration, take them to the doctor.
Ideally, a naturopathic doctor or an MD that's into integrative medicine.
Holistic care.
Yes.
Agreed. Yes. But in the meantime, you know, if it's not full-on dehydration, lemon water is great.
So. It's tough when it's a one-year-old because, I mean, they could be nursing still, but even it's hard to push water down their throat. It's difficult. And mm-hmm. when they're older, of course, and this goes back to the probiotic question. You know, if you're older, you can definitely, you gotta get that balance back in order. So you want to increase your prebiotic food. But when it's a one-year-old, a lot of people do the Pedialyte. Mm-hmm. The problem with Pedialyte, and I guess this is not really a big concern, because you really can't control it, but Pedialyte has tons of food dyes in it. You've mm-hmm. seen the orange flavor, yes. strawberry flavor. They tend to have fluoride in it because it's water. And then uh-huh. they put in aspartame to flavor it, or acesulfame potassium. So you're just looking at an artificial toxin crap bottle. But I understand when it's a one-year-old and the baby's crying and it's diarrhea, I mean, you're going to give them something.
So basically what you're saying is you want us to put on a recipe for natural Pedialyte on the website?
That would be ideal. That would be ideal.
I'll
that
look
was
into
so
it.
Organic. Was I didn't even set that one up.
He didn't. He usually does.
Whoa. Who used to do that?
Whoa. Joey.
Joey. Whoa.
I can't remember his
name. Joey Lawrence,
Lawrence
from Joey Blossom. Lawrence. Remember him? Yeah.
I didn't watch Blossom. Whoa.
Yeah, because I was actually, I was in high school when Blossom came out.
Was I even born?
Probably not. That's what's your name on Big Bang Theory? Sarah Vera Fowler? Maybe.
Yes.
Yeah, Sheldon's nerdy girlfriend. She was originally a high school girl on a show called Blossom. That was in the early 90s. And her older brother, anytime he was surprised, he'd go, whoa, whoa. All right. So let's go to the last question today. This is from Sandra. Sandra wants to know, she said that she read my non-dairy milk alternative review on the website. And she wanted to know if my review of almond milk would be different if it was made homemade. Yes, absolutely. Because homemade almond milk or any of the nut milks is much better than the store-bought crap.
Both. Either or.
The problem with the store-bought ones, and again, this is a question of whether or not you want to be dairy-free. Do you have to be dairy-free? Well, if you're lactose intolerant, definitely would behoove you to be it. You can be in that school of thought that many of us are sensitive to dairy, or that's inflammatory to the body. But I mean, really, it's kind of like with wheat and celiac. Unless you have celiac, you don't need to abstain from wheat. But if you feel better when you abstain from wheat, then abstain from wheat.
Right. Yeah. I think it follows this good, better, best paradigm, because you're talking about store-bought versus homemade. You know, yeah. good, maybe, you know, switched to a store-bought. Better would be switch to an organic, very clean store-bought, and best would be homemade, because you know exactly what is going in and
exactly.
the amounts. So,
right. So
good,
if you look
better,
at
best.
I think that's a good analogy. Like, my students will ask, they're like, Mr. Luna, is this milk chocolate bar good for you? And I'm like, well, compared to Skittles, it's better.
I love Skittles.
But compared to, I don't know, blueberries or baklava or something like that.
Baklava
is good. Well, compared to that, it's probably not as good. So, yeah, that's a really good way to phrase it. But I would say this. The store-bought milks, almost all of them have carrageenan, guar gum. They have all these fillers and preservatives to keep it in a liquid state and to make the milks frothier. And also, almond milk that's store-bought tends not to have a lot of almonds. Shockingly, the first ingredient is filtered water. And then, you know, you can find some studies on how much almonds they put. A lot of skeptics will say there's like 5 almonds in a gallon or in a cup of almond milk. I don't know the number off the top of my head, but again, if you're making it, and I have no experience making homemade almond milk.
I was going to ask you if you.
I know I have some Facebook friends who make it homemade, cashew milk and all that. But like Kate said, if you can make it homemade, and I'm sure you could find some recipes, by all means do it, because the nut, aside from the issues with phytic acid, and overall, nuts are great for you. And mm-hmm. it's going to be, you know, a lot of nutrition, a lot of the MUFA fat. So by all means, if you know how to do it, or you have the initiative to make your own homemade almond milk, by all means do it. And it would trump all the store-bought milks, even the hemp milk, which you can't get high on, allegedly.
How do you know?
That's what I've been told.
Oh, okay.
I should say the students have told me. All right. So let's go to the end here. Let's do rapid fire Q&A. We always like to end our Q&As this way.
Oh boy.
Let's see what Kate's answers to these. These are just Facebook questions.
Oh.
If you guys are not friends with me on Facebook, please look me up because I'll put these kind of questions up there. Of course, go to the Naturopathic Earth page. Now that Kate's back from her exile, she's actually putting videos of herself up on the Facebook page, and hopefully she'll do it on Instagram because she does have such a fetch face.
Fetch. No one uses the word fetch. Stop trying to make a fetch happen.
I'm a little too old to know about that. Yeah, I was like, 31 when that came. God, I'm just dating myself. So old. Yes. So I tell her to put more videos of herself up there. So hopefully she'll do it.
I'm
because
a little shy.
She
I'm,
is a shy.
I'm getting more comfortable
you
in front
are
of the
shy
microphone.
Girl.
I'm getting more comfortable in front
we
of the
need
microphone.
To unshy you.
You love saying that.
That's my only Pepe Le Pew line.
Okay.
All right. So let's go to Facebook. It. Yeah. Okay. So question number one. This is what I posted on the 8th of July. If you could only use one essential oil for the rest of your life, only one. And please don't answer like some of the people on Facebook. Well, I would use this for this and this for this. And I had to redirect. You had to pick one. One essential oil the rest of your life. Which would it be?
Well, I answered actually on the Facebook. And I love the Facebook questions that you put on because it has sparked such great conversation.
They're thought-provoking.
Yes, it's great.
Like, did Adam from the Bible have a belly button?
Was that one of your questions?
No, but did he? He wasn't born of a woman.
You're right.
But we're made in the image and likeness of God. So I'm not.
I don't know.
That's deep, metaphysical, ponderous question. Sorry, mm-hmm. Go ahead. Essential oil.
Yeah. So when I was reading through everybody's responses, I'm like, oh yeah, I should have put that. So what my response was jasmine oil, if Gregory's paying for it. So
is it an expensive one?
Yes.
What's the
yes.
most expensive, like one of the more expensive?
I would say jasmine's expensive, but rose is expensive, very expensive. And there's one other one that's called Melissa. It's just really rare. It's really
the
hard to
the girl's name, or is it like spelled with a Y?
Melissa. It's a citrus oil.
It's like the end of the trachea where it ends and turns into the left and right primary bronchus. It's called the carina.
Just kidding. I actually don't find that boring because it's anatomy, and I like that.
I wonder if it was named after like the daughter of the original anatomist.
Maybe.
Too. I was like, let's name it after carina. All right, so...
Oh, yeah. So jasmine.
Jasmine.
Because it smells so good. I love the way it smells.
But in terms of like usages, is it very versatile?
It's yes. I mean, there are, you know, it's not the most versatile oil, but it's great for skin. It's helpful for any sort of depression, especially postpartum. Mm. So heaven knows I'm going to need it because I'm only at 5 children.
And you're sad that you don't have 10?
Just kidding. Anyway.
Jasmine.
Also, interestingly enough, it's both an aphrodisiac and it helps in childbirth.
Makes you randy, baby.
And then helps the baby come out. So looks cool. I love jasmine. I love the way it smells. I love the way it makes me feel. It's a great oil.
I noticed a lot of people put frankincense.
Yeah, they did.
A lot
I noticed
of frankincense.
That too.
See, I don't know anything about these things. I just put lavender because, again, with my insomnia and my anxiety issues, it just helps with the racing thoughts. But I know there's other oils that you can use for insomnia.
In fact, my first naturopathic essentials podcast is about lavender and all the uses that you can use it for.
I just think it smells good.
Uses that you can use it for.
Uses you can use it for.
Okay.
All right. Next one. If you could only eat one of the following desserts for the rest of your life, which category of food would it be? And this is not regarding gaining weight or getting diabetes, because all of these are really bad for your health. But let's assume we live in some mythical Shangri-La where you could eat unlimited amounts of just this food, but none of the other food. This is like the lonely dessert sweet you could eat for the rest of your life. So the question is, which of these, I guess, would you be less bored with or tired of? So here are the four choices. Candy. So that's going to be like gummy, Skittles, and chocolate varieties, candy. Then we're going to have cakes and pies combined. Ice cream. And then cookies, brownies. Okay, so cookies, brownies, cakes, pies, candy, ice cream. You have to pick one, the only one you can eat for the rest of your life, regardless of food allergies, regardless of all that nonsense.
I get it.
In other words... Get out.
Candy for me.
Your story has become tiresome. It's time for you to touch my monkey. From Sprockets, Saturday Night Live, Mike Myers. Okay, go ahead.
Candy, for sure.
Pourquoi?
I don't know. And you know, you always make fun of me because I like the gummies and the
I don't
very,
make fun
very
of you. I like
unhealthy.
The chocolate-based ones. I'm just not big into the taste.
It depends on the day for me.
Yeah.
But I can almost always go for a Swedish fish or a peachy.
So what are your like top five candy, like non-chocolate candy?
Oh, non-chocolate because I don't know. That's
like Swedish fish.
I like Swedish fish.
Hot tamales.
Oh, I love hot tamales and peaches and Sour Patch Kids. Uh-huh. That's only four. We're making everybody want to go.
Gummy worms.
Let's not talk about this.
I've gone to a large candy store, like those old soda pop ones, and they have those gigantic gummy bears that are like 10-pound gummy bears that come in a gigantic container. I don't know how anyone could eat that.
Saltwater taffy is my number five.
Saltwater taffy. All right. I would go with cakes and pies simply because I'm not a big fruit pie person. I don't like apple pie, peach pie, and all those. But I like cream pies and I like tiramisu, chocolate cream pie, all those. The ice cream would be number two.
Only pick one.
Yeah. Thank you for the
question.
You can only pick one. I am a robot. So I would, cookies and brownies would bore me after a little while because it's all flour. It's the same stuff. Ice cream, you get a little more variety, but I would have to go with cakes and pies because there's such an amount of variety in that. You can do it hot or cold. Hmm. All right. Last one. Really quick. What's your go-to exercise? If you had to pick one exercise to do the rest of your life, you didn't have to worry about your joints. You didn't have to worry about any of those issues. Like what's your number one favorite one to do?
I would say yoga. It would be between yoga and Zumba. But yeah. I think because yoga is also great, not only for the body, but also for the mind, yoga is definitely my top choice.
Is steaming considered an exercise?
No. You and your steaming.
You actually started steaming the last couple of days. She's hooked on it, right? You like it?
I liked it, especially because they added eucalyptus in my local gym.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I smelled it as soon as I got in there and I'm like, this is going to be a good day.
I'm curious. This might be TMI, but like when in the men's locker room, it's all like old men who are naked, who put a towel around their waist. Are women like that? Are women more like conscious? Are they wearing like bathing suits?
The first time I went in there, I'm like, I'm not wearing a towel. What? I'm going to wear like full on clothes. Just kidding. But
like the other women, are they mostly?
Yeah. I was surprised that it was, you know, your traditional steam room that you see on TV.
But were they just going in naked with the towel or were they wearing?
Well,
clothes?
I think there's an unspoken rule that you don't either. You don't ask them, hey, what are you wearing underneath that towel?
Okay,
that's
the number one rule.
Assume.
Is don't sit on somebody, right? Yeah. It's so smoky. It's so steamy. Yeah. Was that Seinfeld and you sit on somebody? You're happy to see me.
I don't know. It was Seinfeld. There was another episode of Arrested Development, maybe, where they're in the steam room. That was hilarious. And it's called a moon landing or something.
Is that what it's called?
Or maybe, I don't know if I'm getting the episode right, but
was that Tobias? That's something I could see happening to Tobias.
No, I can't remember.
No, it's okay. Well, my go-to one.
I'm sorry. It was Modern Family.
Modern Family. Okay. And it must have been the dorky husband, right? Because we have to make all husbands look dorky and incompetent.
No, I don't think so.
Was it Manny?
No.
The little Mexican?
It was the dad and then two guys that are married.
The two gay guys.
Yeah. I can't remember which one.
My go-to would probably be tough because I alternate between running, sprinting, rowing, and elliptical. If I had to pick one, rowing. Rowing. That'd be tough. All right.
I could never do that.
Rowing's fun. You have to practice and then you can get good at it.
What kind of muscles do you need to do that? I mean, I know it's probably like...
It works all the muscles. It's really good for your back and you're moving your legs. That's the problem with the elliptical. Like a lot of people who do the elliptical, they go on no resistance and you're not really moving your upper body and they're just taking it too easy.
Yeah.
So I would definitely probably pick rowing. Yeah. I'd pick rowing.
I just know like I don't have very much upper body strength. I try to do like... the push-up style yoga pose thing. It's pathetic. It's really bad.
But you're pretty good at yoga rowing. You can do weird poses. Like the what's it called? The hanging dog?
I'm not going to say I am so good at yoga.
What's that one?
I love yoga.
What's the hanging dog or the... What's it called?
Are you kidding me?
I don't know anything about yoga.
It's like the most like known yoga thing.
What is it?
Downward facing dog.
Downward facing dog. You can do that?
Yeah, it's like the easiest pose.
Okay.
It's like the relaxation.
What's the
pose?
One where you're like sitting Indian style or crisscross applesauce and you lift up your arms and then you're floating like your legs are folded, but all your weight's
like
on your...
Like a handstand?
No, but you're sitting Indian style and your hands are down, but your legs are all up.
I don't know. I just go to the class.
Okay. I've just seen that one on pictures. All right. Anything else we want to talk about for this Q&A?
I don't think so.
All right, so this Q&A is going to go both on the MP Radio feed and then again on Kate's Naturopathic Essential feed. So please go to her feed on iTunes and post a review. That'd be great. Of course, you can find us on naturopathicearth.com for the articles and all the podcasts you can listen to directly there. You can find me on Instagram at naturopathic_earth and on Twitter at naturopathearth. Kate, where can we find you?
I'm Kate McCall on Facebook if you want to just search for me. Also on Twitter, I'm Kate McCall _NPE. And on Instagram, I'm also at Kate McCall _NPE. Yeah. And then my podcast is Naturopathic Essentials. If you're listening on Gregory's podcast right now, it's Naturopathic Essentials. It's brand new. So please be patient with me because I'm shiny and new.
You're shiny and new. All right, guys, until next time, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to Naturopathic Earth Radio. Visit us at www.naturopathicearth.com. Follow us on Twitter at @naturopathearth. And subscribe to us on iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. And remember our core belief at naturopathicearth.com. Let food be thy medicine, let nature be thy healer. See you next time. Music courtesy of Art of Escapism.